dedicated to talking in America.
Alrighty guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Luna Explains It All. Of course, it is I, Anthony, your favorite podcaster, streaming straight out of New York City. And of course, in the co-pilot seat, you got JB again.
Yo, what's good, party people?
You asked, and you guys shall receive. Your favorite co-pilot is back, right? But this is definitely going to be, I feel like you're going to have a lot of insight for this topic, being that you have shared with us and the world that you was a restaurant server.
Yes. Well,
Weren't you a waiter?
I was a runner. I was a food runner. Damn, what the hell is it called?
Is it like a buffer?
Buster.
A buster. Why did I say buffer? Isn't buffer in porn?
I don't know.
Buffer comes over and gets you hard?
But that's a thing?
Yeah.
They have somebody come and get...
Yeah, so for example, Jesus, what a way to start off, right? But for example, let's say you're a straight man who's doing gay porn. I believe the term is buffer. You will have the woman come in before the scene starts, probably give you a couple of little licks, a couple of little jerks, and then you're ready to perform with the man who you're not attracted to. You're doing it for money, gay for pay. They have like buffers, I think. I think that's the word.
Interesting.
Well, you guys can correct me. You guys could write in if I'm saying the wrong thing. But yeah, I think buffers for porn. And what you said, buster?
Buster. A table buster. I was also
That don't even sound right. Like, what you bussing?
No, I was also a host. And sometimes I helped like bar back a little.
What the fuck is bar back? Why do these all sound like sexual positions?
Hey, what's your favorite? I like the bar bag.
How you get down? Bar bag. Like, where do you like it? In the bar bag.
So the bar bag basically helps the bartender like restock like the garnishes, like fruits and stuff like that. We refill the ice.
All right.
You can take the cups to go get clean.
I gotcha. Okay, good stuff. Which position out of all of those gets the most money?
Servers. No, bartenders.
The bartenders.
Yeah.
No. Out of the the bar back.
I think it was runners.
Yeah, runners.
Yeah, because as far as like tip wise, we get, I think it was 7.5% of tips. So with the restaurant business, some restaurants do tip pool or they do personal tips.
Yeah, we spoke about the tip pool. I'm still not sure whether I love it or not.
I mean, I kind of have like a, I mean, it's since not being a server, it helps everyone who isn't a server or like a bartender, because remember, bussers, we don't get tips.
Yeah.
Runners, we don't get tips. Bar backs, we don't get tips. Hosts, you don't get tips unless somebody's like, oh, you're so nice. And then you want to slide you some money, but
they don't include you in the tip pool.
No, in the tip pool. Yeah. Tip pool, yeah, personally, yeah, we wouldn't. I mean, I actually did get a tip one time as a busser. Some guy came, he's like, oh, you do really good work. He's like, you're really fast and diligent. He gave me $20.
Oh, shit.
But because it was tip pool, you have to give whatever money you get, you have to give it. And then at the end of the week, they put all the money from the tips and like credit card tips and stuff like that. And everybody gets a percentage.
I'm putting that $20 in my pocket and saying, this is for me, for my good work. My hard ethic, strong.
I mean, in tips a week, because as far as pay wise, I used to get like maybe like 200-300.
Yeah,
like regular pay, and then tips was like 5-6.
So I came across an article, and I thought that you can either maybe agree or disagree. The article is titled, "These are the things restaurant servers notice about you right away when you're dining out." Before we go through the list, what are some of the? If you could give us two things that you tend to notice when a customer comes into your establishment, sits down at a table.
Well, for me, it's like demeanor,
like body language.
Yeah, like body language and stuff like that, or how they speak.
How they speak.
Yeah, like how they speak to you.
What's a red flag for you? Like, oh, this is gonna be maybe.
Like with some people, it's just like a little too like loud or like too rowdy.
Gotcha.
Kinda in a way, or like some people who like they just give like a weird attitude. Like they don't have no like, oh, like, you know, as us, we have to, oh, you know, thank you for coming, et cetera, et cetera.
And they're just like, give me the burger. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's like no emotion, no feeling, no nothing. So yeah, you already know, like, all right, this person's probably not going to tip.
When you walk into a restaurant, you probably notice how friendly the host and the wait staff are. Look at that. You just said it. What the ambiance feels like and what kind of cuisine is on the menu and who else is dining there. But you're not the only one taking in your surroundings. Restaurant servers are also likely sizing you up and figuring out what kind of dining guest you'll be. Being a server teaches you how to read people's behaviors on a dime. Kelly Enos, who was a server for about 15 years, told the Huffington Post. You can tell when you walk up to a table and if they're in a bad mood, if they're in a rush. It's all about understanding body language. Wow, you just said that. And developing a rapport quickly. We asked longtime restaurant servers what they've observed about their guests when they're dining out and why that's important to their jobs. So the first one, they observe how you respond when they introduce themselves. Is that something that you pick up? Like, hi, my name is Joseph. I'm here to serve you. And she's like, my name is Maria.
Well, I mean, usually they don't really say their names, but, you know.
Right, who introduces a guy? Hi, I'm Laura, and I'm here to eat. So, when your server first comes by your table, are you scrolling at the menu with your arms crossed? Do you stop what you're doing and listen to them? There were folks who would come in and barely acknowledge you and couldn't remember what you looked like, recalled Chuck Anderson, who was a server for about 20 years. Damn. He even said, just calling your server by name and saying please and thank you goes a long way. To me, the biggest indicator that someone was going to be friendly or at least nice is eye contact, shared Darian Cordosa, a former server for about 25 years and blogger for The Bitchy Waiter. He thinks customers don't often recognize how simple gestures like this can improve the relationship between them and their server. Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're taking someone's order and they're not even looking up, they're just looking at the menu while you're talking, do you find that rude?
I wouldn't really find it rude because usually, like, people, like, they'll look at the menu and they're like, oh, what's this? And then, like, they'll kind of, because on the menus, it'll tell you what, like, what's in the burger or on the food. And then so while the waiter's talking and explaining it, you know, they're kind of, like, reading through like it. Looking yeah. In. So, yeah. You don't so, yeah, it's just not really that rude. Yeah. Now it'd be different if you're trying to if he's explaining something, you're having a whole other conversation while he's trying to explain, then that's rude.
Yeah. So they also can tell a lot about the dynamics at your table. When you sit down at your table, servers usually notice who you are dining with. Simon K, who has about 6 years of serving experience, explained. Is it two friends? Is it a date? You fish those things out just by talking to the guest and find out why they're here. Why is it your business? why I'm here and who I'm
it's
with.
It's not It's not so much, like, why is it, like, it's not your business, but, like, it's good to know, like, if someone's, like, on a date or something, because then the waiters know, like, what's more, like, to recommend. Like, if you see a couple, usually they're like, oh, would you guys want, like, wine, see the wine menu, or whatever the case is, or we have this, or, you know, it's, like, certain stuff like that. You know, you're not, I mean, yeah.
So you're just not being nosy bodies, you're just.
Yeah, it's just, like, you know.
Trying to upsell.
Yeah, and like, and you know, like sometimes like, oh yeah, would you guys like dessert, you know, stuff like that. Like some people you can tell if they're coming in just for like just to eat and leave, or then you see some people are more intimate, they like to, you know, sit at a table longer, talk, they sit there for a while, so you make sure to always ask if they want more wine or always ask if they want dessert and certain stuff like that.
If there are kids at the table, Simon tries to determine how well behaved they are. If you don't know how lax the parents are in terms of keeping the kid in their seats or letting them run around the restaurant, or how dirty underneath the table is going to be, noticing these types of details can help a server how much attention he needs to dedicate to the table, how to space out the orders, how much time the cleanup will take, and what the overall bill may look like. Another very telling observation for servers is how you treat others at your table. If someone is dismissive of their spouse, their date, or their kids, then you don't have much hope that they're going to treat you any better. Do you agree?
No. Because it's that where it comes to, like, it's the server can't really
like, man,
sit here.
You're the one that slept with another person last night. He's going to treat you like shit, not me.
Right. Like, you can't really, you know, do that. You have to treat everybody equally, even if they're rude to you or whatever the case is, you know. And it only gets to a certain point where, like, if they start, like, getting rude with you, like with the server himself, then they'll have to get the manager But a server can't treat anybody differently because, oh, well, he's talking to his wife in a certain way, so now I'm going to treat him like shit. But, you know, you can't really do that.
JB, what makes an entitled customer?
All right, so what makes somebody an entitled customer or guest? We call them guests. We don't call them customers. We call them guests.
Oh, yeah, a lot of places. Yeah. The member. The customer. The member. Or the guest.
So it's more like when they say, oh, we can't sit over here. Like, can we, like, it has to be quieter. Or some people who are like, oh, the music's too loud. And then you lower it down and like, oh, it's still too loud. So then now it's almost like as if the point where there's no music playing and you're just like, just to cater to one table. Like, we've had that a couple times. Now, older guests, we try to sit them away from the speakers. So, because, you know, obviously, you know, it may be too loud for them. So we try to sit them somewhere where they're not too close to where it's too noisy.
That's good. I mean,
I feel all restaurants are supposed to do, but, you know, obviously some of them don't. But, like, with the restaurant I worked in, like, we really did, you know, try to take into account, like, the elderly or, like, couples. We try to put them in, like, the soft chairs, like the, what are they called? The booths. Like, the booths.
Oh, the booths.
Yeah, like, with the soft seats and it's, like, all, like, more tight, you know, like, not tight, but, you know, like, they can sit, like, closer. Yeah, like, they can sit close to each other, yeah. Also, somebody, like they don't want their food touching, like, oh, can I get a separate plate? Or some people, they would literally ask for
those customers, like,
but they would literally ask for a burger with the bun on the side and then everything else so they could put it together themselves. Yes. Or there's some people, they'll ask for the burger and then all, like, the condiments, like the cheese, not the cheese, like the tomatoes, lettuce, pickles, whatever, on the side. Damn. And then they'll put it in themselves. Okay. Like,
so be honest, am I entitled when I go into a restaurant and I'm saying, can I get the house burger, but you can hold everything but the bacon and lettuce?
Oh, you know, because some people just like it a certain way. But I would say you're entitled if you're saying, can I get the house burger, put the bacon on it, but everything else on the side. Because it gives more work for, yeah, like the chefs and stuff when they put the food on the thing. It gives them more work because now they got to get more dishes. Let's put everything, yeah, in its own little dish, so it's not, you know, like, did you want to make your own burger?
Right, this is not build your own burger. Right. No, but the reason why I say this is because I just took mommy out to Lips. It's a drag restaurant. Yeah, it's a drag restaurant in the city.
Interesting.
I took her. It was me and a friend, Sheena. We treated my mom. We treated two other friends as well, Stephanie and CJ. Super shout out to them. Happy birthday. All March babies, right? And I told the drag queen was our waiter. But then again, it's part of the whole ambiance. It's part of the whole sort of vibe where they sort of tease you, I guess.
What do you mean?
Like, they go back and forth with you. So, for example, I ordered the burger. And they had, like, maybe two burgers in the menu. And all the burgers come with all these condiments and all this extra stuff. And I'm the type of person, I don't want the food to go to waste. So, I'm like, can I get this burger? You can hold everything but the lettuce, the patty, and the bacon. So she looks at the other drag queen and she's like, oh, we got a difficult one here. Ooh. And I'm like, wait, am I really difficult?
Because honestly, it's less stuff to put on a burger.
And the reason
why I say it that way,
because I could easily say, oh, I want a plain, give it to me plain, just the bacon. They always bring the cheese.
So that's probably never on them. So the way the servers worked at the restaurant, I mean, you know, you'll say, like, you could literally say, oh, I want this type of burger, but I don't want this on it, I don't want that on it, or whatever the case is. And then now the server has to go and input it into a machine, whatever, mm-hmm, such and such, this on the burger, and then they have to put no cheese, pickles, whatever.
It's not a lot of restaurants that do it. They're technically a restaurant, but it's more fast food that does it to me, where it's like, I'll go into a McDonald's and I'm like, hi, can I get a McDouble completely plain? And they give me a McDouble with cheese. I'm like, I said plain. Oh, but it comes with cheese. But I said fucking plain. I said completely plain. That, to me, at the very least, includes the bread and the patty. What else are you? I said plain. A burger plain. McDouble plain. And they always bring cheese. Why is that? I'm like, stuck on it.
So I always have to tell people. Unless they're giving you already made burgers.
So, like, I have to tell them, like, literally, when it's situations like that, I'm like, plain, please. That means no cheese. That means nothing on it. Just the patty and the bread. And they'd be like, I don't mean, like, if I got three heads or something. I'm like, well, bitch, you keep giving me cheese. One time I had someone argue, like, you ordered that. I'm like, no, I didn't. I don't eat cheese. So why would I order fucking cheese?
You know what it is? It's like some people just don't like their jobs. So they don't want to do the whole.
But that's a lot of places.
The whole take it back and get another one. They might just, can you just take it the way I gave it to you?
Yeah, it's a lot of ones. So when it comes to entitlement, this is what the article says. Asking for substitutions and to split the check are usually acceptable. But requests like these should be logical. Cordorsa explained. For example, asking to substitute an expensive ingredient with an expensive one is probably not going to happen. You can't just say, I don't want tomatoes, but can I get a shrimp instead? Have you ever gotten one of those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because it's, all right, so if the order says it comes with that, like whatever they're ordering, and then they say, oh, instead of this, can I get this added instead? Because then now we're gonna charge you more. Because that food, like that meal, is set at that price. So when you try to substitute stuff, I stuttered right there. But when you try to substitute stuff, whatever you're adding in raises the price. It doesn't lower the price, it raises the price. So, like, let's say you see on a menu it says like steak with potatoes or whatever, and it says like $22. Because you say you don't want potatoes, it doesn't necessarily lower the price of the meal. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be a perfect world where I can say, can I get a plain burger and you knock out like 75 cents or something?
Right, then they don't do that because it's set at that.
I gotcha. They also say, in terms of splitting checks, this is something definitely that happens a lot. How do you feel when big parties go into the restaurant?
From what I've seen, because again, I didn't handle the checks, but from what I know, because my friend was,
but like
my friend was a waiter.
When they see a big group, are they excited because it's gonna be a big tip, or are they like, oh,
well,
they're gonna be fighting for the checks, they're gonna be doing a whole bunch of this?
So the thing is, when everybody splits the check, like, because we'll have like, I remember we used to have like big parties come in, and then you have like four people with cards. So now they have to go and charge every card separately, and it just takes too much time.
But how
so
much?
Like, it takes a lot.
So is that
lot,
the reason why everybody's saying, oh, we could only do it on one card because, yeah, I don't want to process four cards? How long does it take to process
card for payment? It does sometimes take a while. Because then you have to, when you put the order in, you have to put it in separately. So, like, let's say if they say, oh, we want to do four, split it four ways. So then you have to go to the whole, because remember, everything gets added onto one receipt.
Yes.
So when you do it four different times, you have to process. So like, let's say it was $200. Everybody's paying $50 each. So now you have to go in, put $50. Then it's going to take you back to the receipt again. And then you have to go and process the nether card. And then most of the times, it just, how do I explain this? Because you see, it's hard because I wasn't a waiter. But from what my friend would tell me is that it just, one, it takes too much time, especially like if it's like a busy restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, so sitting there having to process four different cards, and then you have to put in a pin, you got to put the, you know, it's just a lot. It just really takes a lot of time. Because then you have to keep going back into the receipt. Then you swipe the card, whatever, pay whatever amount, and then you got to go back into the order again, charge it again. It's just too much time.
I gotcha. The last one is poor time management. Are you judging people on their time management when they're in the restaurant? Do you need an example?
Yeah.
So here's what they say. There's that saying, your lack of time management is not my problem. This is how I feel about people who are in a rush, one of the waiters said. Cordessa.
Oh, all right. I got you. I know exactly what you mean.
So he says, when he worked in Times Square, he frequently had customers come in and say they were in a rush to get to a show. Mm-hmm. You knew the show was at 8 o'clock. It is not my responsibility to make your food take precedence over other people because now it's 7:15 and you're just getting here, he said. Another example of poor time management is when customers show up at a restaurant a few minutes before it closes, even though they know it's about to close.
Oh,
the last
God,
thing
I
you want
those.
Is to have that last minute table that orders three things and then lingers for 2 hours, Simon shared.
It's happened many times.
Working at a restaurant is literally the most tiring job. It is. People want to go home. They can't judge how you treat them based on your appearance. Whether customers are in a full suit or wearing a grungy t-shirt and shorts, servers told the HuffPost that you can never really tell how they'll treat the waitstaff, how much they'll spend, or how much they'll tip just based on looks. Do you agree with that? That you can't, based on their looks, doesn't
you can't
define
really
whether it's going to be a good customer or not?
Yeah, you guys are hard. It's almost because we've had people come in full suits and all, and
don't tip.
Yeah, like they won't tip, or they're some are really nice, some do tip, some don't tip, and some are just, you know, like dead inside. But yeah, but as far as like time management, we've had that happen a lot of times where people come in and they're like, oh, but I'm in a rush. Can I just get this or whatever? Now the way our restaurant worked, we were able to put in orders, but we had an option to put rush.
Oh
yeah, like you could put rush, so then end up at first on the, like, because you put it into the little computer thing or whatever, and then it pops up on the back at the kitchen on the screen. So now however you put the orders in, you know, go like 1, 2, 3 mm-hmm. 4, 5, but if you put rush, it'll shoot to number one, so they know to make that first before now.
I have a good question. This rush option, are they upcharging them?
No, you don't get. They
so
don't
how is that fair to the person who came in at 7 o'clock and someone who came in at 7:20 and said rush, and now they got their food before I?
Well,
did.
I mean,
because that is something that I'll go up to the counter and I will tell you. I'm like, sir, this person came in way after me.
But I mean, but
I
it depends.
Two things, and they ordered a whole full meal. How did they get their food?
Because all right, so the way it works is like, let's say you go in and you order your food, right? Then I come in and I order something and I'm like, oh, but I'm in a rush. You know, I have to go and like I have to catch a flight or whatever. I came for a quick bite.
But how does that mean?
No, now listen. They're not going to not cook your food. Your food is going to be cooking. But now they know we can't wait too much on this order. So let's start the next order as well. The one that's being rushed, they start it at the same time that they're making your food. Just to make sure so that they kind of come out at the same time or like one right after the other. But like, let's say if we get a party of four, then one person comes in. He's in a rush. So now the party of four, their food is being made. But now I know I have to prioritize this one because it's the one person. The party of four, their food is already being cooked. But now I have to quickly start on this one so that it's out in a,
you know. I got you. I get it. I just feel like
they won't make you wait for your food because they prioritize the one. Like your food is still going to be getting cooked.
I'm going to complain. If I ask for a plain burger and this bitch got a fully loaded burger, came in 20 minutes after me and got her burger.
They're not going to put the other orders on hold. It's just they know that one is prioritized, but the other ones are still being made.
They just know
like, all right, we got to, you know, they can't take their time too much on the one order.
Oh, so the last thing, which is the most important thing that servers pay attention to, is are you treating them with respect? If you're ignoring your server every time they come by your table or are snapping at them to get your food and drinks faster, they're probably going to feel disrespected. We've always had this I'm a server, not your servant mindset, Anderson said. I think customers need to remember that this is a lot of people's livelihoods, and being aware of who's serving you and extending a little bit of grace will allow you as the patron to have a better dining experience. JB, before we wrap up, do you know anybody who's ever spit in someone's food?
No, I've never.
Have you ever heard of anyone like bragging about it?
No, not where I worked. No. not where I worked.
Have you ever felt tempted to spit in someone's food?
No. I don't know, cause all right, so I understand that whole, you know, treat your server with respect, obviously, but being also working in that type of industry, you have to also know that you're going to encounter these type of customers,
everywhere,
like these type of guests, you know, like just anywhere.
As
so now you have to learn that when you're in the workplace, you have to separate your feelings from the job. You know, like, cause you can't be a server knowing you're going to get a guest like this, and then when they start snapping at you, now you're rude back. Or now you're taking extra time to bring them stuff. Like, you know, you still have a job to, you know, you can't be, because then now what if they don't come back? Or now what if they give you a bad review? Or they tell their friends, oh no, they came here. And or next, now every time they come back, now they give you an even harder time every time. So, you know, like.
I agree with that. And I feel like a lot of us, we tend to let the littlest things literally run our temper up where we're losing control and we're cursing and arguing back. At the end of the day, look, like me as a manager, at the end of the day, if an associate was to tell me, but he did it first, he screamed at me first, I don't pay him. I pay you.
Yeah, that's exactly how it
was. You are not to stand there and argue with any kind of customer. Let me do the argue. When corporate calls and says, why did this member write in and say the manager told them they're not welcome? Oh, well, because they done cursed, they threatened, they stole something, whatever the reason may be. Let it come from me. Don't let me have to explain to my higher ups, yeah, this person hit this person because they cursed at them and they were just going back and forth. Like, professionalism is key. And I feel like the younger generation has forgotten that.
Like, even as a...
maybe has never learned it.
But yeah, like, even at, like, when I was a busser, like, when I was cleaning the tables, I used to have guests, you know, give me attitude because they're telling me, oh, can you put in this order or can you add this to our order? But I'm like, I'm not a waiter. Like, only the waiter could do that. I don't have access to the machine, like, the little monitor things, you know, and stuff like that. Only the waiters do, or the managers, or the host. So then they'll give attitude to me, like, it's my fault. But I'm like, I'm here to clean your tables. Like,
it's my pay grade, bitch. Like, no. How else do you want me to explain? I don't have credentials to get onto the computer.
But you see, all I can really say is, oh, let me go get your waiter. But then they'll look at me like, you can't just do it. I'm like, I don't have access to do that for you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I have to get your waiter. And then, you know, they give me, you know, the snarky comments. And it's like, I can't do nothing about it.
Like, they don't believe you. Like, if you have incentive to lie to them.
But I've usually only ever experienced that from, like, middle-aged couples. Like, you could tell they're probably, like, in their 40s, maybe. Yeah. Never really from, like, younger couples. Gotcha. You know, yeah, I feel like the younger people, they're a little more understanding.
More understanding.
Sometimes. Like,
so
majority
guys,
of the time.
If there's anything that you should take away from this episode, is be kind.
Yeah,
be kind. Be kind to your servers. Tip if you could afford it,
and also remember,
tip handsomely, tip, if they deserve it.
Tip due to service. Don't tip because, oh, they don't get paid enough. No, like, I've seen it way too many times where servers feel like they're entitled to a tip. You're not entitled to a tip. If you did a good job, I'm going to pay you. I will give you a tip. You did a good job. You made my experience here, you know, very welcoming. I will be back again because you were such a great, you know, employee or whatever. But if you just come and you just, oh, can I get this? All right, here you go. Here you go. Here's your food. And then I don't see you come by trying to refill my cups or trying to, like, move like empty plates out the way or whatever it is. Why would I tip? Like, you're exactly. Not like, you, like, now I'm here trying to shuffle my dishes around, moving everything, asking you to take my plates. Like, exactly. You know,
no,
tip
I
due
agree.
To service. Don't tip because it's they feel entitled to it.
I agree. And on that note, until the next episode, we'll see ya. Bye.